We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Gets inside, left-handed off the glass. Oh, what a sweet move.
Giddy, tough spot, back door. What a pass, what a play. And J-Dub picks the pocket of Trae Young. He'll take it himself.
This isn't Dart you're listening to, you're uncontested.
What is up and welcome to the Uncontested Podcast, coming to you live Sunday, March 17th. So we are less than a month away from the end of the NBA regular season. It's coming up on us quick, folks. I am your host for the evening, Jacob Niffen. We've got the starting five at point guard. We got J.D. Silva.
Point guard, wow. Fellas.
At center, we've got Justin Peabody.
Hello, everybody.
Get it? Because he's tall.
At power forward, stereotype. We have Taylor.
Power forward. Feel like I'm more of like a Lou Dort power forward, short and stocky, but I'll take it.
And at shooting guard, we have Nicholas Crane.
Thoughts and prayers to the Magic Twitter admin.
he might be out needed. Of a job.
or a promotion. One of the two.
One of the two.
I say
we get hired quickly somewhere else.
We are brought to you by the Blue Wire Podcast Network and our friends over at Dave's Hot Chicken and Spark OKC. You're in the live stream tonight. Thanks for joining us. As always, Sunday nights, 9 p.m. Get your comments, your questions, your trash talk in over in the chat. We love to see it. Tonight is the hot take of the week night, so make sure to get those hot takes in as well so we can read those. Also, hit that like button. Also, if you're watching the YouTube video at a later date, hit that like button as well. And as always, if you download the show on your podcast platform of choice, please make sure to drop that 5-star rating. Few pieces of business to discuss before we start tonight. There is this Friday a Thunder game north of the border in Toronto. Starts at 6 p.m. There's an official Thunder watch party taking place at Chicken and Pickle in North OKC. If you've never been to Chicken and Pickle, pretty cool spot. They got chicken and they got pickles. So they have pickleball. They have a wide variety of food, bar, lots of TVs. It's a really cool spot to come hang out, watch a game. And we have been asked to live pod after the game concludes at the watch party. So come hang out with us this Friday night. That would be March 22nd. We'll be hanging out, eating food, and then podcasting at the end of the night. So you can come catch a live Uncontested Podcast. It will be awesome. And then April 5th, that is another Friday night, the Thunder will take on the Indiana Pacers in Indianapolis at 6 p.m. And we are hosting the official Uncontested watch party. This is the big one, folks, at Dave's Hot Chicken in downtown Oklahoma City. So mark your calendars now for April 5th. Come out to Dave's, get some great, great, great food. You could be like Nicholas Crane and order and sign the waiver for the Reaper.
incredible stuff, man. Like, we're going to get to the hot take scale in a bit. Now that I've experienced Reaper, unless you're saying this Thunder team wins 5 in a row, ain't nothing Reaper that could be a hot take.
I gave a breakdown prior to the podcast, Nick. As soon as I start to water, it was a slow burn. Like it really hit after. And so I looked up and saw Nick's eyes start to water and I was like, oh no. And it just completely went down from there for me.
All the way down to his anus.
For Taylor, so yeah.
Calendars for April 5th. Maybe don't try the Reaper if you can't do the hot food. I went with the mild, and I had a great time. Great food, cheese on my fries. It was delicious.
And better company.
Hang out with us Friday, April 5th, as we watch the Thunder take on the Indiana Pacers. A live pod coming after that one as well. You'll be out of there by 9 p.m., even if you hang out for the live pod, because the game will be over by about 8:15, 8:30. A great Friday night. Again, that is April 5th at Dave's Hot Chicken in downtown Oklahoma City. Mark your calendars. Invite everybody you know. Let's pack out Dave's. Let's eat some good food. And let's cheer the Thunder on to victory. With all of that being said, folks, the Thunder played a game last night, Saturday, out in Memphis, Tennessee, against the Grizzlies. And the Thunder won that game 118 to 112. I did not get to watch it live. I rewatched it later yesterday evening. But let's break this one down. I'm going to kick it over to Nick first. Nick, we always like to do like big themes, takeaways, big ideas, what stood out, etc. What do you have from Thunder versus Memphis?
Oh boy. Maybe big picture defensively. There's a lot of things defensively I thought could have been better. It seems like that was a team you should have put away a couple times, and then you couldn't string together stops. A lot of it was like guys like G.G. Jackson who just have a trigger from anywhere on the floor, although they're like shooting 20% on the game, just like hit this dagger or big shot in the wrong moment. So like not a concern by any means, but the big takeaway for me was like, there's probably three times in that game where I was like, all right, this one's over. Like, we can stop, you know, really dialing in. And then it wasn't over. And that probably shouldn't be the case against the Memphis team. But I think in most situations, Oklahoma City probably puts that one away a couple times.
In that respect, it reminded me a bit of the Spurs loss a few weeks back where, you know, guys are just going to have nights like that. Like the entire Spurs offense happened to have a night like that in that one. But the Memphis, they had some guys that went off. You can probably pinpoint, you know, a handful of defensive plays in addition to kind of broader themes where Oklahoma City's defense wasn't as locked in. And I think we've seen that a handful of times this season where the defense isn't as crisp. We know where their potential is. We've seen it at its peak. But they can definitely let their foot off the gas a little bit. And I agree. I think we saw that a bit in Memphis.
Can I offer a counterpoint to the defense? I've been thinking about this a lot today because I watched the game later with the context of knowing what the outcome is. So I wasn't as invested play by play by play because the outcome wasn't decided. Like I knew they were going to win the game. I thought 90% of that game was really, really good defense by the Thunder. I thought Memphis hit some really tough threes, end of the shot clock threes, some highly contested heaves. The Grizzlies outscored the Thunder. I have it right here. Thunder shot 12 of 35 from three. That's 34%. The Grizzlies shot 18 of 44. That's 41%. So six more threes. And I think 5 to 6 of those were just like, what else do you do? That's great defense. And the ball went in. Yeah. They had Jake LaRavia shooting a, you know, 26-foot turnaround three-pointer as the shot clock buzzer is expiring and just happens to go in. Watching the game from the context of knowing what the outcome was, I thought the defense looked like pretty good, minus maybe like a 3-minute stretch to start the fourth quarter wasn't good. But besides that, I thought there were some lineups and just some possessions where they were all over the place, just hounding the crap out of the Grizzlies.
Yeah, I think my only counter to your counter is when you play a team that's good, those kind of like, it's the Grizzlies. So when you say like tough threes, like just because of the Grizzlies doesn't mean they're not NBA players. Like Jake Larrabee is a great shooter, not the turnaround 26 footer, but like there's guys on the Grizzlies that can knock down tough shots. So to some degree, it's like not an excuse because
for sure.
Like if you roll it back like a few seconds before the tough three was taken, could you have like denied that pass? Could you have forced them another foot further beyond the line to make it even tougher look? You know, like there's things that like I think we all there's sometimes where it's like a broken play or a guy makes a tough shot and you're like, it was just a tough shot, couldn't have played better D. Maybe you could have though. Maybe you could have not even let the guy catch the ball or make him catch off balance, and then he's kind of regaining his. There's things you can do where I'm like, against this team, it should have been a little different at points.
For sure. The way I kind of looked at it, Nick, was NBA players are so good offensively, especially like as the game has progressed, that good defense anymore isn't like you completely lock a team down for a 3 or 4 minute stretch. It's taking a shot that would maybe be like a 53% chance of going in down to like a 45% chance of going in. It's just reducing it's on the margins. Percentage. Yeah, for sure. And it just felt like the Thunder did that last night, and then Memphis still made the shots even though they were more difficult to make. And that just happens some nights, right? Yeah. Like you said, like they're an NBA team. Laravia can shoot it. Jaren Jackson Jr. can shoot it. Desmond Bane can shoot the absolute piss out of it. Mm-hmm. Like, those things happen. I felt like the Thunder did what was needed to take that shot that's typically a 53% shot down to a 43% shot. Mm-hmm. But when it's a 43% shot, there's still over 4 out of 10 times that shot goes in the basket, right?
Do you have the box score? This was a game that I watched. I didn't dig into it a whole lot after. Mm-hmm. Did Oklahoma City force as many turnovers as they generally do?
They forced 14, had 11 of their own, mm-hmm. had 18 points off those 14 turnovers. Okay. So
to their standards, it's not great. Like,
right.
Okay.
And also I think a lot of those came in the second half as well.
Okay. And I think that's defense too. Like when we think big picture defense, it's not just, did you contest this shot or even did you make the 53% of 45%? It's like, did you put your foot on their throat and turn them over 3 times for a quick 6-7 points and make that 5-point lead like 12 and game over?
Which I also didn't happen. Memphis did that to them at the start of the fourth quarter, quick 8-0 run.
Yeah.
I just didn't think the effort and intensity was there for the majority of the first half in general, not even just defensively, but like there's the viral clip going around right now of about 3:40 left in the second quarter, where the Grizzlies are just passing the ball around, leads to the Santi Aldama baseline, nasty, like behind the head dunk that he had. And the rotations just weren't crisp at all. I mean, you have like players just reaching, point of attack defense wasn't great. And then you have Josh Giddey trying to react at the end, which led to Aldama being able to drive baseline and get that dunk. I just didn't think they were quite as locked in yet in that fourth quarter. You mentioned you didn't think those first 3 minutes were great, Jacob, defensively, which I think is fair. But we saw Cason Wallace really lock in there in the second half and kind of spark that defense yet again. That's been a theme post All-Star break, in my opinion. I'm not sure the intensity was really there to begin the game as much as it was there when they kind of dug their heels in. And that's kind of a bigger overall theme. We talked a lot about this season, but this Thunder team is so resilient. Like Nick said, there was multiple times where a lot of teams that they would have played against would have just folded when the Thunder went on some of these runs, especially there in that second half. The Grizzlies didn't do that, and yet the Thunder still found a way to win there in that fourth quarter.
Yeah, I it does feel like I don't have any gigantic takeaways from this. It'd be like milking an almond. Like it's hard to do with this one. I kind of second.
I'd like to see you try.
Well, that could be a bet payoff one of these days. Milking an almond on stream.
Well, almond milk is a thing, Silva. So maybe you can make us some almond milk.
It is, and I love it. I prefer milk anyway. Back to the game. No, I don't. This is a game in mid-March. You know, they like you guys were saying, they couldn't slam the door. I was never that worried about them losing this game, but things were a little off from, like Taylor was just saying, SGA, the guy who has 31 points every single game, had 20. Oh, it's kind of weird. We had Josh Giddey. Thanks, Sean. Thanks for always being there for me. Josh Giddey didn't necessarily – I wasn't super locked into this game, but from what I could tell, it wasn't – Josh hasn't continued the momentum he was having earlier in the week necessarily. Kaysen's been going off from a scoring standpoint. Didn't bring that, but did bring the defense. It was much needed to kind of energize the team again. It is nice to see guys like Chet and J-Dub step up in scoring whenever SGA has a – I don't even want to say off night. Like, he had a fine game, but it's good that guy's getting some rest. I'm just throwing out abstract thoughts because I don't know one takeaway anymore necessarily. You guys have covered everything as far as big themes from it, I think.
I feel like I've got a lot of pushback against you guys on this game, and I'm not.
Maybe it's because you didn't watch it till this morning.
Hey, it's a lot different when you watch the game and you know the outcome, huh?
Jacob. Exactly. And so, again, my perspective is like, different. Also, Justin, it was this morning. I started at midnight and got done at about 1:45. Thank you very much.
Wow. True degenerate.
Yes. Not only did I think the defense was fine, like, minus the really, really bad stretch of 95 seconds to start the fourth quarter, I thought Josh Giddey was largely fine in this one. Like, I really like the aggressiveness going to the basket. When you surf the box score, the 1 of 6 from 3 sticks out like a sore thumb. The 6 were wide open. I didn't like how easily he took them. I think Nick tweeted it last night and hit the nail right on the head. Instead of shooting the 3, I wish he would put the ball on the deck and go inside and force the defense to react a little bit more. But he had some really nice passes. Like, he kept the ball moving. I thought some of his aggression going to the hoop resulted in good looks and points for the team. Again, I wish he wouldn't have just, like, I think there was one point where he shot 3 threes in like the span of like 60 seconds. And I was like, okay, Josh, pump the brakes. And then the start of the fourth quarter, I don't know what got into him, but he just went full dirt mode on defense. Like, he rotated over like 40 feet off of his guy to be in Jaren Jackson Jr.'s way on a drive, but Jaren wasn't driving, and Josh got caught in no man's land and then ran back out to his man, who just ran right past him for a layup. And it was just like, holy smokes, what possessed you to like do that? That was, and he got pulled for the rest of the game, rightfully so. Yep. But I didn't think it was like a bad Josh game. Like, I thought for the most part, he was fine. He ended with 13-6-2 on 50% from the field. A lot of times he like forced somebody to step up and guard him instead of letting guys like sag off. There was one play in particular where they had Jaren Jackson Jr. on him. Jaren was largely ignoring him. The ball swung. Josh got it back on the move that forced Jaren to like step up to guard him, rotate and move his feet. And then Josh dropped off a pass for like an easy basket. And I was like, that's the way like you get guys to guard you. Few criticisms for sure, but largely I didn't think Josh was horrible in this one.
I agree with you, Jacob. I think he had a solid game. I do think that the beginning of the fourth, I think that, so I didn't get a chance to give my theme, but that is my theme, is pulling Josh is part of it, but more so is putting Kaysen in. I think Queso did an awesome job. He had a great game overall, but especially in the fourth quarter, He went into goblin mode. Like, he was doing everything you want to see out of Queso. And I think that lineup of like Queso with the starters, I think that's something that we're going to see more of if he continues to earn it like he did. I think Kaysen's been awesome. And while Josh had a pretty solid game overall, that stretch to begin the fourth, it was very clear. I mean, we know Daigneault, right? And how much he values defense. He responded to that poor stretch pretty quick, and thankfully for the Thunder, Queso came in and cleaned it up.
I have a lot of thoughts here.
Shocker.
I know, and not necessarily negative, because one thing that I spent a lot of time on in my post-game podcast after Thursday was, I find this conundrum so interesting, because Josh is playing so much better and so much more assertive, playing more so like the Josh, and with much more confidence. It's the biggest thing. Much more similar to the Josh we saw of the previous two seasons. And yet he's still being, and now we're seeing what that looks like when he's still playing well, but is being guarded like we saw earlier in the season. I think the Rockets were the first to use their center, for example, to guard Josh Giddey. And the offense and the style of play suffers because of that. Another thought I had is like, it seems like when Josh has these opportunities, he gets going and off to a hot start, seems to take away from Shea. And that results in Shea, like, especially over the past week. I didn't think Shea necessarily had a great week, even though maybe the counting stats are there, similar to Josh Giddey. The counting stats are there. But I think when Josh is like taking those opportunities, it kind of gets Shea off to a slow start. And I'm not sure that's best for the team either. And so I was pulling up some stats per usual. As a newly proud member of cleaningtheglass.com, you look at the usage rate for these players, which for those that aren't familiar, that is how much of the team's offense did the player use by shooting, turning the ball over, assisting, etc. Basically their impact and how much they have the ball in their hands. Josh Giddey had a 31.4% usage percentage in comparison to Shea's 28% and Dub's 27% in only 19 minutes. If you want to look at the offensive rating, I mean, we can talk about plus minus all we want. We all know that's kind of irrelevant, but he had 108.3 points per 100 possession, essentially, which is less than both of J-Dub and Shea on lesser attempts. And like, my point to all of this is that even when Josh is playing better, the fit just isn't great. And that's why we're seeing Cason Wallace come in to close games, the Isaiah Joe lineups. I have those lineups net ratings that I can go through as well, but I won't bore the listeners unless you all want me to.
Thank you for that. Appreciate that.
I continue to stand by this. I mean, this team just continues to play better when Josh isn't necessarily in the game. I think a lot of people have taken that as like, I'm saying Josh shouldn't play in general. That's not the case at all. And I think he should continue to start. But I'm just continuing to point out these flaws because I think these are things that are really going to mean a lot come playoff time when every single possession is so important.
Two other things I noticed last night. I am interested if you guys kind of saw the same. One is a combination of the past two games, Dallas and then Memphis. Those are the two games since J-Dub came back from the ankle injury. He looks like the defense looks like it's at a different level these past two games with him, especially the physicality. And that leads to observation number two, which was in the fourth quarter last night. I specifically noted this. There was a lineup that was Cason Wallace, Lou Dort, J-Dub, Kenrich Williams, and Chet Holmgren.
That was a fun lineup.
And that, like, I watched that lineup play basketball for 2 minutes, and then at 1:30 a.m., I paused the TV, and I tweeted out, that lineup is just a bunch of dudes who want to go out there and beat the absolute shit out of you. Like, they want to push, they want to shove, they want to lower their shoulder and try to run you into the dirt, they want to rip the ball from you. Like, that is a group of just straight dogs. And they showed that last night, and that was, I don't know the amount of minutes that five-man lineup has played together, but holy cannoli.
Taylor could probably tell you.
That lineup fired me up. Kenrich Williams had the best block of his career last night, maybe, on the Wenyen Gabriel dunk. I mean, just sent the dude to the shadow realm. But that lineup was dope. And that was a lineup that reminded me of, like, grit and grind Grizzlies days. Like, they just wanted to go grab a lead pipe and beat the shit out of you. It was incredible.
So,
I loved it.
Before I give my thought on that, Silva, could you please play the sounder?
Which one? Because we just had the holy cannoli, and we also have opportunities for the statistics sounder. So
both, please.
Okay.
Statistics, Holmes.
Holy cannoli.
Love that back-to-back.
Minus is basically a team stat.
Good grief.
It's a triple-double right there.
Ding. So we've been really critical of Kenrich this year. He's had a couple good games in a row. He's a guy that I think this week in general has been pretty positive.
I agree. Playing better. And the team.
It's huge, actually.
The team needs it, right?
Very.
Mm-hmm. And typically in those games recently, it's been like him as solo small ball five, I felt like.
Yeah, we. I think Oklahoma City went and got two bigs, and
haven't seen.
And Kenrich said, "Oh shit, I got to get my stuff together."
No, not that. But I think it just speaks to Oklahoma City's philosophy and style of play. And I've been thinking about this. Maybe not a theme for this game, but a quick side rabbit hole for you guys. Everyone talks about in the playoffs, the game changes and the lineup shorten, and you got to do all these different things. Would it shock you if Mark just said, nah, I'm just going to keep running my 12-man rotation?
Absolutely not. Anything? I expect it, honestly.
Yeah. It wouldn't.
Unorthodox.
I'm kind of into it.
We talk for 2 years about unorthodox and pave our own path and not be followers. I would not be shocked if Mark just went out there and was like, we've been really good all year doing this, and we're going to keep doing this. Like, why would I change? Oh, you only ran 9-man rotations in the playoffs. Why?
I'm totally fine with it until we get like game 3, fourth quarter, Usman Jang minutes.
Oh, okay. Okay. That won't happen.
And then I might commit an act of domestic
violence. Very different.
I'll be a little frustrated if it's like the second series and Shea's not getting like 40 minutes per game.
Got Lindsay out there.
Shea played 13 guys.
Yeah. He's also been doing offensive defensive subs a lot recently.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
At like end of quarters, which I find interesting.
Well, I was going to say it's not just Kenrich either, but it's also Jay Will. And that's a large reason we haven't seen those two other bigs that we signed. Obviously, Muscala coming back and Biombo, because Jay Will's been playing really well, although last night wasn't one of his better games. It seems like that's kind of fired him up as well to what you were saying, Jacob, about Kenrich kind of playing better ever since those two signings.
My only other takeaway from last night, my last one, Hayward played 14 minutes. That's third most off the bench behind Isaiah Joe and Cason Wallace, who I thought were largely great. Hayward had 6 points and one assist, but was second on the team in plus minus. Was it the fourth quarter or late third quarter? There was a Shea drive and kick to Gordon Hayward for a three that, I mean, the net didn't move. It was so clean. And every time I watch Gordon and I watch him shoot, I just think, I want this guy to shoot more threes. Like, yeah. I'm starting to migrate past the feeling of, at some point, he's going to drop 20 and like be a huge scorer for this team to win a game. That's starting to slip for me a little bit. It seems like he's more comfortable being the glue guy. But if that's what the three ball looks like, give me four a game, Gordo.
Well, Gordo.
Four is a lot. He's attempted 9 in 13 games. So
I know. Yeah. So let's crank those numbers up a little bit. Those are rookie numbers.
I agree with you. He's a good shooter. So
I have a question for you all. When do we think he's going to attempt 8 shots? Will he ever attempt 8 shots? Because he has not done so since December 26th.
I would say he will before the end of the regular season, but come playoff time, this is probably the Gordon we see and should be accustomed to, be my guess.
And people, I think, largely want to criticize him because he's not been this huge scoring punch. I think holistically, as a rounded basketball player, he's largely been awesome. His role isn't huge. I think the defense has been really good. I think the connectivity on offense has been really good. I think the shooting has been good, albeit in very small volume. The only thing that's kind of left a little bit to be desired is the free throw shooting hasn't been great. But again, small sample. I think holistically, like, he's been really good. Nick, you were talking about Kenrich earlier. I wouldn't be surprised if we see Gordon Hayward at the 5 minutes in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yep.
To Silva's point, fit and role and team is everything. Gordon Hayward played 25 games in Charlotte this year. How many games did he take 8 shots?
You said he's played 25? 24.
Like how many games did he take more than 8 shots?
8 or more.
15.
Damn it. I was going to say 15. I'll say it anyway.
I have no clue.
20 out of 25.
Damn.
Which is like, it just speaks to different teams, different roles. Like, he's very capable of taking 8 shots. Like Silva said, when are we going to get that? He's capable of doing it, right? Like, it's not like this is something he's... I feel like the fan base has kind of turned him into this 39, 40 year old, like end of his career, can barely walk. That's not Gordon Hayward. He's just playing a very conservative role right now.
Flip side of that coin, Nick. I've seen fans recently saying like, oh, they messed up trading Micić. Like, this was such a negative trade for the Thunder. Micić has been so much better. Trey Mann has been so much better than Gordon Hayward is. Blah, blah, blah. Context matters a ton.
The inverse of the exact thing we just talked about, Gordon.
I've said this before.
Trey Mann, if Trey Mann stayed on the team, he would not be getting minutes right now.
He would have played 23 minutes since the deadline on Steam.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of fans thought like, okay, Darius Bazley, that's going to be the casualty of the rebuild. It's not. And to be completely honest with you guys, it's not going to be Micić. It's not going to be Trey Mann. There's going to be other players on this team that maybe aren't even on this team yet that are still going to be traded elsewhere and flourish, because that's just the nature of having all these picks and the depth of this team.
Yep. Now, and the Hornets just stink.
Right. And yeah, there's a lot of opportunity there. We haven't even touched on the big three. So quickly before we get off this game and move on, I thought Dub was fantastic. Chet had a great game. And Shea, not so much of a great game, although he had decent stats. Curious,
I thought Shea was super efficient. 8 of 16. The 1 of 4 from 3, it seems like he was settling a little bit. Does look a little tired, especially the 3 from 6 from 3 as well.
Only 6 free throw attempts.
Chet playing like he's on a week of rest was awesome. And like I mentioned earlier, like J-Dub's just been like crazy physical, and I love it.
Dub's been awesome.
It's crazy as you say. 8 of 16 for Shea is efficient. That's 50%. That's well below his season average. So
I know. It's crazy.
That's what I was getting. Yeah.
Dub, 9 of 17, 4 of 5 from the free throw line. I love this stat line from Dub. 23, 7, 6, 1, and 2. I thought he hit the glass really hard last night. I love when he guards. He almost always guards up. Like the Jaren Jackson Jr. matchup, though. Like, Jaren Jackson Jr., that his size and stature and build, he should bulldoze Dub every time down the court. And he's just unable to. It's kind of badass. I'm not going to lie. I kind of love it.
Yeah. Kind of love it. Yeah, he's awesome. He's been awesome.
All right. Let's take our first break of the night. On the other side, we'll do some hot takes. We'll be right back.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
With Kizik hands-free shoes, motion sounds something like this. Kizik helps you experience the magic of motion. With over 200 patents and easy-on, easy-off technology, you'll never have to touch your shoes again. There are hundreds of styles and colors, plus a squish like nothing you've ever felt. For a limited time, get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
And we are back. It is time for that Dave's Hot Chicken Hot Takes of the Week. The East Hollywood pop-up sensation turned fast casual superstar Dave's Hot Chicken is now serving Oklahoma in Brooktown, Edmond, and soon to be in Chisholm Creek. Their mouth-watering sliders, maybe they make you water because they're so dadgum hot, and tenders are offered at 7 spice levels, ranging from no spice, I have no experience with the no spice, and Reaper, somebody on this podcast does have experience with that one. Each piece of hand-breaded chicken is spiced to order using a blend crafted specifically for its heat level, along with sides of house-made kale slaw, creamy mac and cheese, and crispy seasoned fries. And you can get the new Dave's Not Chicken. That would be cauliflower slices that taste just like Dave's Hot Chicken, but they're not. They're cauliflower. Visit Dave's Hot Chicken in Bricktown right next to Fuzzy's Taco Shop before or after the next Thunder home game, which will be this coming Wednesday. Also, make it out there April 5th for our watch party. Nick experienced Dave's Hot Chicken for his first time. Can we get a review? Can we get a Yelp review live on the show, please, Nick?
Yes, it is very good. I intentionally bought way more than I needed to. I wanted to try a bunch of things. An interesting twist I wasn't expecting. They have Pacifico on draft, which is really, really good. Nice little beer on the side.
Perfect mac and cheese.
Absolutely. Mac and cheese was phenomenal. I did not get cheese on my fries like Jacob did, but whatever that sauce was
Dave sauce. The dipping sauce is real good.
Gosh. Yeah. Dip the crinkle cut. Is that what you call them?
Yep.
Yeah.
Dip that in the sauce. Incredible. Sliders were good. I got one mild, one medium, and then I got Reaper tenders. So I have not flirted with the light, mild, or no spice. I don't think I ever would. Jacob got hot. I don't think anybody got extra hot. But like as a collective three-man group, we got like all but two levels.
Two of the flavors, yeah.
Yeah.
I got hot. I got medium and hot. Jacob went mild. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
I thought you got hot, Jacob.
No, I just went mild.
Oh, of course you did.
I like the hot. That it probably will be my go-to them. Flavor.
How's the Reaper, Nick? Were you having second guesses when you had to sign the piece of paper?
No, because I knew. Like, if I had no clue and I was like, let me try that Reaper, and they're like, you got to sign this piece of paper, I might have been like, oh, nah, I don't know about that. But I knew. Shout out to them. They gave us two tenders instead of one. Not that we'd ever finish two tenders. So Taylor and I had, like, a small little like ripped off corner of one tender. And like, I'm a big jalapeno habanero, like crazy hot buffalo. Like I'm a spicy guy. Like Dave, like the,
I agree. I'm with you. That's
hot. So hot ones,
hot sauce and everything.
Hot ones where it's like all the different sauce levels. Like that's one kind of hot. This dry heat is different. Cause it's just seasoning. There's no sauce in this thing. I think Taylor took it way worse than I did.
Like, based on the video I saw, I think that's true.
I was cooking for sure. And like, actually later that day, like 2 hours later, I was driving down the street and I like touched my eye and I guess there was on my fingernail.
Yes.
And I was like blinded.
It happened with my nose.
20 minutes you're on the street, but
my nostril was burning like later.
It's a weird heat. I don't know if it's like the science behind it is the seasoning like seeps into your tongue or what, but it's uncurable. You can't almond milk, Silva ain't working.
Hey,
ice ain't working. Water ain't working. Bread ain't, nothing's working.
Ketchup helps me a
little
bit.
You're just screwed.
But yeah,
did you just shoot ketchup dry? Like
no, dipping those cheese fries and ketchup, and yeah, it was a slow burn.
Oh my god,
you're really selling it.
All right, it was like phenomenal. Like we intentionally didn't touch the Reaper until
Dave's
after
is phenomenal. The smart. Reaper is brutal.
Yeah, hot
as it should be.
I'll say this. Well, I'll put this out there. If anybody at the watch party consumes an entire Reaper tender
in front of us,
I will send them $100.
Nick offered me some cold hard cash to eat the Reaper tender.
Quite a bit.
We found out Jacob don't have that dog in him.
I don't either. I wouldn't do it.
I got some dog in me. I just don't want to shit the dog out while he's burning on fire.
Oh my goodness.
Hey, do you want $100 to hyperventilate for an hour and a half? Here you go.
It will ruin your night.
You like $100 to have third degree burns on your intestines?
Because we only did one bite. I did not have the ladder experience. But I can only imagine what that would be like after one Reaper tender.
Yep.
All right, let's do some hot takes, gentlemen. What do you got
on that note?
Yeah, I can go. I feel like I've been just tackling this one first.
JD, you said you had one, but you were going to be pissed if someone stole it. So
I
got to
get in front of it. I got it. How about Jada breaks his career high this week? He's been trending up. He's been getting a lot of talk on podcasts. Bassini had a great breakdown on his most recent episode. Jada's just looking better and better and better and is getting true star recognition nationally. Now his career high is 36 points, which he hit this season in December against the Knicks. Right? Yep. So I think he's going to get to 40.
Ooh.
That would be awesome.
This week they have the Jazz, the Raptors,
and the Bucks.
Who do they have, Taylor?
Bucks.
JD, I'm going to give you hot on this one.
Okay.
I'm going extra hot. I think as much as I'd love to see a 40 piece from J-Dub, that feels a little spicy.
Anytime someone says as much as I just, unless you say the actual phrase,
Jacob,
doesn't hit the same.
Sorry. So I thought maybe you were
as much as I hate Rudy Gobert.
Pause just a second. I was reading a comment, so I was like half listening. Yeah. Did Taylor just use his F-bomb card?
What?
I don't think so.
No. Okay. I thought I heard
what?
No. Sorry.
I'm not even sure what I said that was even similar to that.
Okay. Sorry. I thought I heard a what the F. I was also, ADHD brain. Whenever JD said that J-Dub had his career high against the Knicks, I am now thinking of photoshopping the entire New York Knicks starting five, but it's Nick Crane's face because they're the New York Knicks. For some reason, that just popped in my brain. That's all I can think about right now.
Amazing. So, yeah, I'll give you a hot there as well, Silva. Somebody who had hot on Friday during lunch, because I could totally see it. If you got to 36, like, and Dubson playing really well, I think it's doable, but it's certainly going to take a very specific situation in the game.
Yeah, I'm gonna say extra hot only because I don't have data to suggest I'm correct here, but the big scoring outbursts. I'm sure you do. The big scoring outbursts come in games and you need them. Like, I think when you see like the Wizards on the schedule, you're like, oh, 50 bomb. That's not ever the game that it actually happens because you don't need to and you're not playing the fourth quarter. So I'm going to give it extra hot. I don't think it's going to happen this week.
Okay. Respectable.
Who's got the next hot take?
I'll give you one. Let me go first, Taylor. Only because you probably stole mine.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
This is very...
I don't think this is super hot, especially given the schedule and where they're at. But I think we all talked about the 40 before 20. I think this Thunder team will be 50 and 20 following that Bucks game.
Okay, I see why you thought I may have stole that, because you mentioned this to me at lunch, and I liked it.
So if they beat the Bucks, they'll be at 50?
Which is why I will give you a hot.
If they win through the Bucks game, if they go undefeated through the Bucks game, they'll be 50 and 20.
So 3-0 this week, they'll be 50 and 20.
Yeah.
That's absurd.
I don't know how hot this one is.
I may or may not have medium on this one, Nick.
Okay.
I think it is possible. Medium. They come home to play the Jazz. The Jazz are like trying to tank, I feel like.
Keontae George is hooping.
Yeah, he's good.
He's been awesome.
Hey, Wednesday, my favorite former Thunder comes back to Paycom Center for his return.
Deion Waiters isn't in the league.
My second favorite Thunder.
Who the hell is it?
Who was on the Jazz that used to play for the Thunder?
I'm trying to think.
Looking it up. Who
in my brain?
It?
Well, Darius Bazley got a 10-day.
Darius Bazley comes to town, folks.
God, this team has somebody actually locked
in too.
Darius Bazley revenge game.
Chet's gonna make him look like a little boy.
Yes.
No spice. What if I told you that the Bucks game is not the game I think gets in the way of 50 and 20?
Which one do you think it is?
I just think it's going to be one of these two like games that you don't think about. That's how it always is. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, all you gotta do is beat these two crappy teams, and then beat the Bucks, and you lose.
The Bucks like have not been great. Chris Middleton just came back, and now Giannis is out.
Mm-hmm. Hey, I think that Silva's guy, Bobby Portis, went off today.
Yeah,
he had 6 points in the second half.
Who guards Bobby for this team? Is it gonna be J-Dub?
No one. Put up 31-10 today.
Hey, Silva guards Bobby.
For the record, maybe I'll save that as my hot take. Never mind.
Okay.
I think it's a medium, Nick. I think they can definitely do it.
I'm going to go hot. I think that three in a row. How many have they won in a row right now? Two, three?
Three, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Two. Good question. Actually,
I think it's just two because it was two. They lost to Indiana they beat Indiana. Dallas. And,
yeah, okay. Five in a row is different than three in a row. Whether or not the logic should make sense, it does.
You're right.
True.
Going hot also. For the reasons we just discussed.
Silva's going hot. You heard it here first.
I appreciate Connor's comment here. Chet versus Bay is the ultimate hydrogen bomb versus coughing baby.
Connor has been listening to Jacob.
Coughing Baisley.
That's awesome.
Coughing Baisley.
All right, Taylor, Justin, what are your hot takes?
Justin, you want to go first?
No, I can't talk.
He's still laughing.
Coughing Baisley.
Okay. Mine is also related to J-Dub. But no stats to actually back this up. And it's not actually all mine have been
no spice.
Like hot takes for the upcoming week. Mine's just a hot take in general. I'm just firing off the hip. I actually tweeted this out last night.
The segment's designed to do.
Yeah.
Thank you for explaining the hot take segment, Taylor. Appreciate that.
Then obviously I haven't been hot enough. I think back to like Thunder 1.0, if that's what we're calling it. And like we had Russ and KD before KD obviously made his decision. I love both, but Russ was my favorite player. Starting to feel that way about J-Dub and Shea. Very different dynamic between the two. They play much better with one another. Love them both. Dub's becoming my favorite player. And not only that, but what I'm seeing this season, I think, and I'm willing to officially go on record here. You guys are going to have to hold me to this maybe for a while. But by the time the Thunder win a championship with both Shea and Dub on the team, I think Dub is going to be the best player on the Thunder roster.
Holy Reaper. I just said a little bit ago that I've felt the burn.
I have as well. And just like Paul Atreides, my eyes have been awakened. I can see the future.
Your his eyes have been awakened because he rubbed his eyes with the Reaper sauce on him.
Just so I'm clear, your hot take is not only did the Thunder win a championship in the near future, but Dub is better than Shea by then?
Yeah, I think Shea's going to be the best. Or sorry, Dub is going to be the best player on the
Thunder. So they win a championship and Dub's better than Shea.
Multi-layered hot
take. Well, I kind of threw that in. My main hot take here is that Dub is going to be the best player. All said and done.
No, you did it.
Taylor has unlocked the real essence of this segment with good this take.
Thank you, Taylor.
Correct.
Taylor drank the water.
He said, gotten a Taylor is just taking the Reaper tender and inserting it straight into his anus.
He said
he's not even letting it go through the process.
The craziest part is he said, I have no data to back this up and then predicted the future.
Correct.
Well, yeah, like, Taylor drank the water of life from Dune, and now he can see the future. And
good grief. Thank you, Silva.
You're welcome, Taylor.
You got my reference. Nobody else has seen Dune 2.
Yes. Well, I'm going Reaper.
Yeah, that feels fair.
You don't say.
But what if we just said in 5 years, Dub is better than SGA?
Reaper.
That's kind of what I was getting at. I probably shouldn't have.
That's still Reaper.
Part.
Stop backtracking.
He might
Taylor.
Win an MVP in a month.
And like, Dub's going to have multiple
Dub
MVPs.
Is going to get an MVP. If that happens, that is insane. And I will hand it over to you, Taylor.
We were saying the same thing about, there's no way that Presti's going to be able to draft James Harden, Russell Westbrook, and KD again.
Please
look at us now. Look at us now.
Save that for another week.
Oh, God.
TP.
He wasn't lying about
I like
Taylor.
I like
went full redneck mode.
I like
that
a lot.
Harden, KD again.
That's my go-to. Yeah.
That's your trader common boy.
Yes, that's it 100%.
Oh my god.
Fired up after fighting all these giddy supporters.
TP, what else happens in 5 years? Let us know.
I mean, one step at a time.
If Dub's better than Shea, what's Chet in 5 years?
He'll be great.
How great is great?
Wow.
Be fantastic. He'll be amazing. Incredible. The greatest of great to ever great.
Oh, so he's better than Dub.
Will Wemby be a gigantic pain in the ass still in 5 years? I'm going to say yes.
Way to go out on a limb.
Not if he's on the Thunder.
In fact, Ice Spice.
Oh, Ice Spice.
Yes.
Weird. Justin, give us your take.
I don't want to anymore.
Justin is the Ice Spice of this podcast.
I don't know what that means.
I don't really want. Maybe the red hair. I can see it, exactly. I guess.
There you go.
Okay.
You go.
Fine. I don't.
Justin, you're out in the nuclear winter now after that last take, and now you have to.
Right? Like, I definitely regret letting you're Taylor welcome. Go first because there's no there's no measuring up to that. Okay. So my hot take is that the Thunder will finish third in the West.
Oh, shit.
And the reason behind it, unlike Taylor, I do have some stats. We've talked so much right back at the All-Star break about how the Thunder had a very easy schedule for the second half of the season. We've crossed through the cotton candy forest, and we are now moving into like a serious part of the schedule. From here on out, the Thunder have the fifth hardest schedule in the West the rest of the way. And the only teams who have it harder are Phoenix, Utah, San Antonio, and Portland. So Phoenix, the only team of consequence that has a harder schedule than the Thunder down the stretch. It's going to start getting tough. The Celtics, the Bucks twice, the Pelicans, the Knicks, the Kings, the Suns. Not easy games. I know we're going to dive more deeply into how this shakes out in a minute. So this is a little segue for us. But in terms of the Thunder specifically, third.
Sergeant and Mr. Smith, you're going to love this house.
Bunk beds in a closet?
There's no field manual for finding the right home. But when you do, USAA Homeowners Insurance can help protect it the right way. Restrictions apply.
The NBA playoffs are back. And on FanDuel, new customers can bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Back in the day, news like this, your crew would have been writing each other letters.
Dearest Benjamin, wonderful news from the East. The spread has been covered.
Or maybe you'd use your phone to actually call someone.
Man, you see that dunk? Man, I saw that dunk.
But these days, it's all about the group chat.
I love that high-fiving kitten emoji.
No matter how you tell them, let your crew know that all new FanDuel customers can bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. Ooh, Morse code. Classic. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Ohio. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See full terms at FanDuel.com/sportsbook. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Did we lose Justin?
We lost Justin.
We lost Justin for a moment.
I could see his face.
Oh, okay, you're fine.
Wait, you're back. That was really weird.
That was weird. I didn't lose y'all. You went robot just, like, mode for a
faded out for a minute, and then it came back.
Like, towards the end of your take.
Well, Thunder finished third. There you go.
Yeah.
Third in the West?
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, did I hear that part?
Maybe he's cutting out before he actually cut out everybody else for me.
God bless America. Thunder finished third. They have a hard schedule.
Okay, there we go.
That's it. That's the gist.
There we go.
Hey, tough for Phoenix there.
I melted mics.
Hey.
Yeah, no
wait,
kidding.
Wait on the Phoenix talk. I still got my hot
take. Oh, okay.
Third, I feel like hot is like our go-to tonight, except when Taylor talks. I'm going to go hot on this one as well. I totally get where you're coming from, Justin. I just feel like those three Minnesota-Denver matchups,
those are big,
are going to pave the way for the Thunder to be 2-1. I think that, and like you said, we'll get to this in a minute. I think that in those three matchups, one way or the other, they go, it's a 2-1 split. And those are huge games for the Thunder because both teams are directly related to who's going to get number one. I feel like they're a lock for top three, though. I don't think they're getting to four.
I agree.
So I'm going to take hot on this one because I think it's going to be 1 or 2.
I agree with you, actually. I think it's going to be 2.
Damn it. I agree with you also.
I mean, it's hard to disagree. I don't, especially
those
when
are not
have a tiebreaker
hot ratings,
over Denver.
By the way.
I just, and the Clippers are, I don't know, they've kind of struggled recently. I don't know. I would be surprised if the Thunder end up in third.
But third is the floor now, yeah?
Yeah.
I think so. Yeah, third is the floor. They're not falling below the Clippers.
I think that's a hot
Clippers
take.
Are bad.
The Kings might be 4.
No, the Pelicans.
Pelicans. That's what I meant. Pelicans, yeah.
Yeah.
All right. My hot take, not Thunder related. Phoenix doesn't make it out of the play-in.
Ooh. Damn.
Phoenix is in the play-in, and they do not end up being a seed 1 through 8, and their lottery pick goes to whoever the hell they owe their pick to this year.
Let me match you. Let me match you.
I'm ready.
Mavs don't make it out of the play-in.
Oh, that's Nick. That's even spicier.
Talk to me, Nick.
If that happened, would there be Luka discourse this offseason?
Oh, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. 2 years in a row of not making it to the playoffs?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Have you seen Twitter?
Yeah. My hot take is Phoenix is in the play-in. They don't make it out of the play-in. They don't see the other side.
Kind of love it, but I'm not going to let that kind of cloud my judgment here. I'll still give you extra hot because with Kevin Durant, Bradley
Ooh,
Beal.
Okay. So you think I'm like borderline crazy?
I mean,
got it. Coming from Taylor, that
you're saying the Suns, can't lose a game or two. Out of
no, they absolutely can. I mean, what would the discourse be nationally if the Suns weren't to make it right?
I don't care what the discourse is going to be. What's the reality of what could happen?
Yeah, I think.
I mean, I can't just keep saying hot on every
I think it's
take.
A medium.
I'm trying to make this a conversation here. Okay,
Suns are dysfunctional.
We're getting paid for this, guys.
The Suns are dysfunctional, and that can weigh heavy. Like you said, Nick, it's a game or two, and anything can happen. And I think we've seen a lot of anythings happening in Phoenix.
I don't think I realized how close the standings were in that range. It's like seeds 6, 7, and 8 are all 8.5 games back. So very easily,
a lot of movement.
Well,
and Justin just said the Suns have an incredibly difficult schedule.
The hardest of anyone in the West.
The Suns could end up in that 9-10 and have to win 2 straight to make it.
Hey, the Rockets are playing really good without Şengün.
There it is. Oh, God. Well,
there it is.
Justin, why don't you take us through the fan
I am
hot
on
take?
Yes.
I have one about this.
The Reaper has taken over.
We do have one from Nick Jordan. He says, hot take, Houston makes the play-in over the Lakers.
Let me tell you something.
Now we're talking, Nick.
Can you imagine if the Thunder get the 1 seed and end up matched up against the Houston Rockets with no Alpi? That's a bloodbath.
Bloodbath.
Alpi play. I think he would too. 3 weeks out.
But he would. Yeah. But he still wouldn't be. I don't know.
He's out for the season, 100%. Isn't he?
No,
for the regular season.
That
tweet happened when they were back. 5 games out of 10. And they said
for the record, I think this one is extra hot. I don't think Houston is going to make the play-in.
You hope they do, though.
But God, I hope they do.
well, it's a catch-22
because you don't get their pick. You don't get their lotto pick if they make it.
Yeah.
But if it was 1-8 Thunder Houston.
Yeah, making the play-in does not mean you get to play them first round.
Yeah.
And that would, if they got in this 8, you got to assume the Thunder are 1. That's a lot of things. I think you just
a lot of assumptions.
Safer to say, just be bad and convey that pick at like 10, 11, 12.
Agreed. Yep.
Next hot take from Meat Leak. We should start load managing Shea for the rest of the regular season.
Meek.
That feels pretty Reaper to me after experiencing the Reaper. Shea needs to play.
I think the discourse would rapidly come up if that happened. I also don't think Shea wants to do that.
No, for sure.
Correct.
I think he's trying
and
to.
They're getting three days off right now before their next game. Like, that's a good amount of rest. I'm going extra hot.
I'll go extra hot also.
Next one, JP Golden. Lakers won't make it past the play-in.
Mild.
Yeah, I think this one's a mile. Woo! I think that's a very realistic chance.
I was going,
we just
going
saw
to
the 9-10 matchup on national TV last night.
We did.
And the Lakers lost.
I'm going to watch that playing game like it's the Super Bowl.
100%.
Someone's going to have a party and have pigs in a blanket and buffalo dip. And... yeah.
Next up, Sean C. Hot take. For the last 10 games, I've had more confidence when Lou Dort shoots a three than Isaiah Joe.
Well, mild. Or maybe no spice. And I have a stat for this, if I can find it.
The stat is that Lou Dort on any player over five attempts is the highest, the best shooting player in the entire league, Taylor.
Highest three-point percentage since the All-Star break.
Yeah.
Lou Dort at number one, 49.3%. From three.
As soon as Taylor said it,
the stat guy.
Like, we saw that stat down.
Lou's been awesome. Yeah, I don't think this one is very hot. I would go like mild on this one.
No, I think it changes.
Yeah, that's fair.
If we know Lou Dort, we know that if there's a lot of good, there's a lot of bad coming.
Well, let's crank up the heat level here. Three-legged chair. Hot take.
Giddy. Oh, that's his name.
That is not the hot take. The hot take comes to us from three-legged chair. My guy, that's a stool.
I'm really glad I wasn't taking another drink during that point because we'd have another
Giddy take. Finals MVP.
Holy shit. That is Reaper, brother.
That's like...
I don't know if there's a step beyond Reaper, but that's what that would be.
That's completing the Reaper challenge of like the two Reaper chicken strips.
Yeah. I'll say this.
I just did a bite.
If Oklahoma City makes the finals, it wouldn't be that hot. But you have to assume they make it to even be a possibility. They got to win it to be a possibility, which makes it Reaper.
I think if they won the NBA finals, I would still put Reaper on this one.
I think if it said hot take, SGA wins finals MVP, it's still probably extra hot.
Yes, for sure.
We'd be in the damn Matrix if Giddy won finals MVP.
I wouldn't know what to do with myself. I hope it happens and we come back to this and sit in the Matrix.
I would have to eat an actual crow on the podcast.
Okay, deal.
You got to kill it yourself, too.
That doesn't seem safe. Last but not least, from Joseph, hot take, Justin will get that degenerate shirt made. I'm going to go ahead
Reaper.
And put that
Reaper.
Reaper. Let me do you a favor. And
I will say there may not be a degenerate shirt being made in the near future, but the shirts that Justin's put out recently are bangers.
They are bangers. So,
look nice. At you, Taylor.
That looks nice.
Oh, I got I got my what are we calling it? The Metro Bite. What you call this design? Metro Bison. The
Retro, I think is the
Retro.
Word
that's the word I'm looking for. Retro Bison. Got the dog shirt.
Spit on the camera, Jenny. Please.
Incredible. Well, thank you for the compliments.
This has been a great segment.
Comments.
It's an old timer.
This has been a great segment.
The bison are no longer rural. They're in the metro, folks.
Right.
All right. Hot takes are over. I thought, guys.
Thank goodness.
With roughly 15 games left. I'm going to make JD do a little bit of work behind the scenes here. I thought we could look at the top three teams in the Western Conference, their remaining schedule. We're not going to debate each game. We're just going to go through pretty quickly in like three game stretches to figure out where we think the Thunder, the Wolves, and the Nuggets end record-wise to make a decision on what the top three seeds in the West will look like a month from now. So, JD, do you mind pulling up any of those three, their remaining schedule on the screen here? I don't want to go game by game because I think that gets too convoluted and we get too in the weeds. There's some games that they'll lose that they shouldn't. Some games that they'll win that they shouldn't or that are going to be hotly contested. So I think looking at the remaining schedule in like chunks of three or week by week is the best way to do so. JD, you were going to have to zoom in on that because
no problem.
All I see is blue lines.
No problem at all. How the hell do I? Where is
that? Just
command plus dog.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're there.
Okay, so who is this?
This is podcasting. This is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Okay, so guys, I will give you three games. you guys have like less than 10 seconds to decide 0-3, 1-2, 2-1, or 3-0. Okay.
Okay.
Thunder versus Jazz at Raptors at Bucks.
2-1.
2-1.
3-0.
Yep. Don't lie, because you guys just bet these games too.
Yeah, that's true. We have our
those three are actually locked in, so we'll see who's a liar and who's not.
So are we going 2-1 or 3-0?
2-1.
2-1. Okay. So they got two more wins, one more loss. The next three at Pelicans, Houston Rockets, Phoenix Suns. The Houston and the Pelicans games are a Sega Baba.
Houston and Pelicans?
Play in New Orleans, and then the next night is a Sega Baba back home against the Rockets.
1-1?
There are three games there, brother.
Back to back.
New Orleans, Rockets, Suns.
2-1?
I could go 2-1 again.
1-2.
I'm kind of 1-2 also.
I could say 1-2. It's got to happen at some point.
1-2. The next three would be at the Knicks, at the Sixers, at the Celtics. The Celtics is a Sega Baba.
Yeesh.
Hear me out. Hear me out. 0-3.
Holy.
Thunder Twitter will act like the world's on fire. Their first three-game losing streak of the entire year. And then we'll get to the next slate of games, and they turn it around. But that will be like the trough of Thunder Twitter, in my opinion.
It's fair.
Nick says 0-3. What are the rest of you guys got?
1-2.
1-2.
I agree.
Okay, so I'm going 1-2 because that's the majority.
Suck it, Nick.
The next three after that is at the Pacers, at the Hornets, and then home versus the Kings.
3-0.
Wow. Just swinging that pendulum.
It's never like a, oh, they should beat this team and lose to the, it's never that.
Mm-hmm. 2-1.
I know.
Two and one.
That's what I wanted to go with also.
Okay, 2-1.
I mean, it all evens out. Nick just said 0-3 and then
3-0.
And then we went 1-2.
So the same thing.
Yeah, it is.
The next three.
Good math.
Would be at home versus the Spurs, at home versus the Bucks, and then the season finale at home versus the Mavericks. Spurs, Bucks, Mavericks, all at home. No Sega Babas.
2-1.
2-1. I bet you some of those old bastards on the Bucks are resting.
Yeah, that's fair. 2-1.
I think 2-1 because Oklahoma City's resting on April 14th.
All right. 2-1. That puts OKC going 8-7 the rest of the way, folks. And the current record is what?
47-20. Yeah.
So we would have them at 55 wins and what is that? 55 and 27 losses?
Yep.
Yep. Pretty impressive.
55 and 27. All right, JD, who's the next team we're doing?
Denver.
The Denver Nuggets. I'm going in groups of three again. You guys ready?
Born ready.
They've already played that Mavericks game, so it hasn't updated yet. They are at Minnesota versus the Knicks. At the Blazers. Again, at Wolves versus Knicks at Blazers.
I'm going to go 1-2. I know they've been playing really well recently, but they're not a consistent team.
3-0.
2-1.
Okay. The 2-1 is the average there. So we're going 2-1. The next three, all at home. Memphis Grizzlies, Phoenix Suns, Minnesota Timberwolves.
2-1.
2-1.
2-1. Hard to disagree.
It's copy paste.
Denver is going to be elite on the stretch.
After that, we have at home versus the Cavs, at home versus the Spurs, at the Clippers.
2-1.
Feels like another two. I was going to say feels like another 2-1.
Yeah, I agree.
2-1. Okay. They are then home versus the Hawks, at the Jazz, home versus the Wolves.
3-0.
I'm going to say 2-1 just because I am of the opinion Denver's going to be the number one seed. I think they'll have it locked in by April 10th, and they will not play their guys the last game. So even if they lose it, 2-1.
2-1.
2-1.
And oh, it's then, not their last game. I screwed up, but we'll still take 2-1.
At Spurs, at Grizz to close out the season.
Probably. I could see a 1-1 and people are rusting, but let's go 2-0.
It hedges my earlier screw up. So yeah, 2-0.
That's 10-4 for the Nuggets. Where are they at right now?
That would put them two games above OKC.
That would put them two games over?
I think so.
57 wins?
They're half a game now. It would put them two and a half over, because Oklahoma City is one game over 500 in our analysis, and this would put them four games over. Yeah? Or six games over. We'll figure it out later.
Yeah. But I think that puts Silva, what's the Nuggets record today right now? Actually, I have it right here.
Okay, nice.
The Nuggets have 47. So that would put them at 57-25.
What's that? Thunder, three games above?
Thunder were at 55-27.
Is that two games above then?
Yep.
So I was right the whole time.
Our last one is Minnesota. And Silva, you have those games pulled up?
Yep.
Minnesota at Jazz versus Nuggets versus Cavs.
1-2.
1-2.
I kind of like 2-1, but yeah.
I'm bored. Go 1-2.
The next three versus the Warriors versus the Pistons at the Nuggets.
2-1.
1-2.
1-2.
1-2.
Ooh.
I like it.
No cat.
True.
No cap.
The next three, all at home. Bulls, Rockets, Raptors on a Sega Baba.
Let's go 3-0. Let's give them some wins.
Yeah, get some wins here.
3-0. The next three, at Suns, at Lakers, versus Wizards.
That's a tough stretch.
1-2.
1-2, yeah.
Yeah.
1-2. They then go at Nuggets versus Hawks versus Suns to close the season.
Oh, that's
1-1. That's
tough.
2-1.
2-1.
Nuggets, Hawks, Suns, the three game?
Yeah. Nuggets, Hawks, Suns.
I already said the Hawks, Suns. Phoenix is gonna be tough. Phoenix is gonna be desperate. That's give me 1-2.
Sounds like everyone else went 2-1, Nick, so we're gonna go with that. But that puts the Minnesota Timberwolves at 54-28, which would put Minnesota at third, Oklahoma City. Minnesota at third with 54 wins, the Thunder at second with 55, the Nuggets at first with 57.
Feels right.
That feels right. Yeah.
Did you guys be okay with that? Man. Now that's really close.
It's a close. Like, if that actually shakes out, that we're going to be having some palm sweats during the last games.
It will definitely be interesting. Let's take our last break of the night. On the other side, we'll continue with some predictions, our Thunder predictions, before we get out of here. We'll be right back. And we are back. Justin, take it away.
You'd like that, wouldn't you?
I would like that.
Jacob cannot stop rubbing it in all of our faces.
Can't stop, won't stop.
The man has extended his lead.
12 out of my last 13, folks. 12 out of 13.
45 points for Mr. Jacob. Followed by Nick, who stays steady at 39. Same score he was at last week. While the rest of us increased slightly, Silva at 37, myself at 36, and Taylor at 35.
Officially last.
2 through 5 is shrinking, but 1 is pulling away a bit.
I've never made a parlay in my life.
Do you know what it is? Do you know what it is?
What a parlay is?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tell us.
So like you string together like multiple different bets and over unders, and you have to hit all of them in order to win.
Wow.
I thought it was the liquid butter that you spray on your toast.
You're a degenerate, bro.
All right, we got three on the schedule this week, folks. The first one, the Utah Jazz come to town Wednesday night to play the Oklahoma City Thunder in Paycom Center. Do the Thunder win and continue to climb the standings or stay at the top of the standings? Do they lose to try to get the Jazz's pick and get them an extra win? What happens, JD?
A W with a money ball.
Taylor.
Retweet.
Justin.
A W with a money ball.
Nick.
W, save the money ball. Because I'm coming back.
I knew you'd do that.
Give me the money ball, baby, with that dub.
That's a free point for me this week. Let's go.
They then
head. We know who will be rooting for a Jazz win.
They then head north of the border to Shea's kind of hometown of Toronto, Canada, to take on the Raptors.
Not his hometown.
Well, it's like he's in a... It's
Hamilton, Toronto. Same decision.
I
guess
some more, but I claim OKC. Mm-hmm. They take on the Raptors Friday night, 6 p.m. We will be watching that game at Chicken and Pickle in North Oklahoma City. Come hang out for the Thunder Watch Party. Listen to a live pod afterwards. Should be a lot of fun. Nick, what do you got?
That's my dub. That's my money ball.
Justin?
I also have a dub.
Taylor?
Same.
I went with a win, and JD did?
A win.
All right.
Is that all, think that all five dubs?
Yep.
Wow.
Wow.
And then on... I got to get pulled up here. Sunday... Is it Sunday? Yeah, it's Sunday.
Yep.
They are at the Milwaukee Bucks.
Bucks.
JD.
Bucks. Loss. Bobby P dropping 30 again.
I also took a loss in Milwaukee. Taylor?
It's my time to shine. My time for a comeback. I have 3-0 in the week.
Nice.
Wow. Justin. Wow. I took an L in Milwaukee. They've been a little up and down, but going on the road, who wants to go to Milwaukee? That's an L.
That's rude.
I'm sure it's a great city.
Nick.
Took a W. 3-0 for me, too.
Whoa.
Wow.
All righty.
50-20. It's my MO for this next week. So
telling you all, the Reaper has opened our eyes.
That's a hell of a phrase out of context. I think the Reaper typically closes your eyes forever.
Buddy.
That's a good point.
Fair. I don't know much about the guy. Thank you guys.
My preference is to be taxidermied when I die.
Thank you guys for tuning in to the podcast tonight. If you're in the live stream, there was a lot of you. Thank you so much. Thanks for dropping those hot takes as we do every Sunday. If you're watching the YouTube video after this is aired live or listening to the podcast version, thanks for tuning into our show, for coming and finding us. Hey, keep dropping those likes on the video. Keep dropping the 5 stars on the podcast platforms. It is definitely is helping. More people are seeing us because of the For You page, because so many likes and ratings are going on. So that means a ton to us. Thank you guys so much. If you haven't already, go check out Justin's new work on the shirts over at cottonbureau.com. Just search the Uncontested Podcast. You can get the dogs, the Holy Chet,
Flapian Laser.
You can get the Metro Bison if you want it. We will be back Wednesday, a little bit later of a show on Wednesday because we're waiting until after the Jazz game concludes. So join us Wednesday, and then Friday, we are live out at Chicken and Pickle, so come hang out. And then back here Sunday, as always, 9 p.m. You know where to find us. You guys have a great start to your week. Enjoy a couple days with no Thunder basketball. Watch some other teams lose. Root for, I don't know, make yourself a parlay that the Timberwolves and the Nuggets will continue to lose, solidifying that one seed for the Thunder. We'll talk to you guys Wednesday night. Until then, and as always, Thunder up!